The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I didn't really think about it. I knew I was going to come out here and work. I don't owe it to nobody but my teammates and myself and my family. So by me participating, showing my teammates that I love the game and I'm willing to be out here.
Bills running back James Cook, no hold in, no hold out, practicing in full. And he was very candid yesterday in his appearance to the media there. You heard it there and just in that clip, you know, really holding in was never an option. Holding out was never an option. He also, though, did mention that, you know, he wants to get paid. He thinks he will get paid, whether it be in Buffalo or whether it be somewhere else. And I'm a very big fan of athletes being candid. I've talked about that with Scottie Scheffler, different circumstances, but him being right. Very open about how he feels about like his legacy with golf, and mm-hmm. he doesn't, you know, identify himself as a golfer. It's just a thing he does that makes him money. I like that Cook is being very candid. And now I think you can comfortably, whenever Cook speaks, whenever he says something, you can kind of take him at his word. And that's not always true with athletes. That's not always true with public figures. You know, there is that sort of PR training that one has to go through when you get put into the public spotlight. But Cook, I think, actually, you know, for as little we hear him speak, really balances it well. He doesn't give you too much to where you're going, maybe wouldn't have done that, wouldn't have said that. But he doesn't give you so little or give you the same cookie-cutter answers that you'd expect that make you go, I'm not going to listen to that. I don't really care. I'm not going to learn anything. I think you learned a lot listening. I think you only spoke for about 5.5 minutes. I think you learned quite a bit about where James Cook's mindset is at.
Yes. And again, it is a consistent message. He wants to get paid. He feels like he's worth a certain amount. Mm-hmm. And that message has been there. It has been clear. You and I have talked about this week of how admirable it has been that he has shown the team route despite, you know, his desires. But he has been consistent with that messaging too of, I do want to get paid. Be it here or elsewhere, that's what I would want. I would like to be in Buffalo, the quarterback, the team, everything like that, the roster, like everything does jive pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
But if he gets that contract elsewhere, if the Bills cannot afford to keep him, which also Brandon Bean mentions a little bit of this week at the start of training camp.
Yep.
And it's something that I'd imagine in closed doors has been kind of the message. I don't know if we can afford it.
Yeah, we'd love to keep you here, man. We really would. Just don't know if we're going to be able to do it. But you deserve to get your bag. And I think as well, too, there might be a positive to this of like, it's also a position, you know, in a way that may not hurt the team going to the draft in like the second or third round.
And it is also an amicable.
Especially when you've helped out the offensive line so much.
And it's also an amicable ending,
mm-hmm.
kind of. Like it seems like both sides have come to this understanding.
Mm-hmm.
And again, we aren't in the negotiations. We don't know. But based off the situation, the fact that a contract is not done kind of effectively tells you the story. If you're able to read the tea leaves on this,
mm-hmm.
that it seems like both player and team have this understanding. And all you want to do is get through the season. Both of you benefit from another good season from Cook.
Mm-hmm.
And then, however the dice roll from there is where they roll.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Some notes from practice today. I'm seeing this from Alex Brasky, friend of the show. Offense seems to be actually having a very good day. Josh Allen in particular having a very good day, finding Coleman over the middle. He's had some nice hits to Dalton Kincaid, Josh Palmer, and Elijah Moore. Although his two misses, two interceptions, come from the same player, Taylor Rapp. Himself a very nice day, which could be big. I mean, it does sound like it has been Cole Bishop and Taylor Rapp as the two starting safeties. If you can get a really good season out of Rapp, especially if he's maybe more in the, and you know, Derek, you mentioned this, maybe more into his natural role.
Yes, and I also, maybe though, maybe it's spot. Maybe he also might be the player that we all assumed that they could see him as
mm-hmm.
when he initially signed from the Rams. He was seen almost as like this heir apparent, so to say, from Hayden Poyer.
Yeah, he took like a smaller deal just to get in the building, and then it was like, okay.
Okay, you're going to be our...
Once the year's done, he's coming.
You're going to be one of our guys going forward here. And he was not necessarily known as a pure thumper.
Mm-hmm.
He showed that when he got here. But I do think, yeah, he does make plays from time to time. I just would love to see him not hit somebody so hard that it takes himself out of the lineup. Like, that's all I need to see.
Yeah.
And if he is the guy that plays up top, for example, like I was speculating yesterday, maybe Cole Bishop is the guy that, you know, is the range type, and then you can put Rapp in the box. Maybe it is the opposite.
Maybe. We'll see. I think they're going to have a fun year on defense just with the additions they've made on the defensive line and in the secondary. And I do mean that. I think they could have a really fun year. I'm excited to see what Bobby Babbage can do in year two as a defensive coordinator. Now with more, I would just say, straight up help on the defensive side of the ball. I think that they were really at times last year, maybe more often than not, they ran into a talent issue on defense. They just did not have the guys to play defense the way they wanted to. With that being said, though, Sean McDermott defenses will take the ball away. And that really helped them in a lot of areas. They were not a great run-stopping defense. They were not a great third-down defense. But they were able to sustain themselves off of, yeah, but we're going to take the ball away. And I think Bobby Babbage today was wearing a hat that said take the ball or get the ball, whatever it was. And so it's kind of going off of the saying for the offense of everybody eats. You know, the defense kind of has their own. But now with the additions on the defensive line, it also sounds like Greg Rousseau and Joey Bosa are having a great day. And Babbage, I think, even mentioned outright that Bosa is a three-down player. They're just going to more kind of play with his reps and how they're going to do that. That'll be interesting to see.
Maybe it's a drive-by-drive situation.
Right, exactly. And so I've said a lot the last few weeks. If they can get immediate good, not great, but good play out of guys like TJ Sanders and Max Harrison, or if Trey White really is a really good solid CB2 and they can kind of bring Harrison along a little bit slower, they could have a lot of fun on defense this year. I think there's been a lot of times in the past few years the defense has not had the talent that you'd maybe want, and we haven't really gotten to see McDermott maybe flex his defensive muscles as much. But even with some limited talent, some injuries, they still get turnovers. They're still a good enough unit. They do fall apart in the playoffs. That is not an aberration. That is a normality for them at more often than not. But if you can have talent that is healthy at the end of the year, and that's where I bring up the one seed a lot, I would like to see, like, does McDermott maybe have a Spags type, you know, playbook in his head that he can just pull up and you know, kind of unleash the dogs a little bit. It is a lot of times in the playoffs, it's felt like they can't.
The other thing about it is that turnovers are not supposed to be something you can like rely on a year-to-year basis. But what do the Bills do almost every year?
Yeah, they kind of rely on them.
It's not even rely on them. They get them.
Yeah, it just works. They're
it just
fine.
Happens. It keeps happening, which might say something a little bit against the grain of what you're trying to say about like they do lack that pure talent sort of thing. I think, though, that it turns into the depth. And last year, we did have a little bit more depth to the Bills' defense. We saw it. It's just, it wasn't enough. And there's a difference between having depth within your regular season and depth against, well, quite frankly, Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe you look at this team and you go, turnovers are not supposed to be something you can replicate year in and year out. But the Bills seem to buck that trend, that saying, and really kind of turn around and say, we can do it. Because oftentimes, what are the Bills at the end of the day? They're a bend, don't break type defense. They'll let you get some chunkage in terms of yards, but then they lock it down in the situations that they need to the most. There's just one moment every year that it doesn't happen that way.
It's the playoff games
it's
they lose.
Painful. It is painful to see that that's how it goes. But it's not anything that, like, I don't know. Maybe you can go ahead and look at it. It is tight. It's kind of their identity. Get the turnovers. Cause a big play. Mm-hmm. Allow the offense to be able to dominate. And you turn a game into, well, not really much of a game anymore. Or you put it away in your favor.
Yeah.
it is fascinating that this Bills team, even with talent changing through, and it's not as strong as it used to be with the top end skill, how do you deal with that? How do you survive that? Well, you get some turnovers.
Well, and it's the great equalizer for them.
It's the great equalizer.
The problem is, though, that runs out in the playoffs.
And
Mahomes has never thrown a pick against them in the playoffs.
And if you have one game where you don't get those turnovers, it becomes devastating for you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you live by the sword. Hey, here comes the die by the sword part.
And that's where I get excited about the additions to the defensive line. I do like seeing that Rousseau and Bosa are eating today, or that Rapp is kind of all around. Bishop looks more comfortable, that kind of stuff. Because then if you have the natural talent plus the addition of those turnovers, then you should be fine. I mean, I say it a lot now, but if their defense is better, if their defensive line is better than last year, they're a Super Bowl team. Maybe not Super Bowl winning. We'll see what comes out of the NFC, because we saw what Philadelphia looked like by the end of the year. But they should make it to the Super Bowl. All they need is three or four plays across an entire game against Mahomes, and they win. The problem is against that team in particular in the playoffs, they get none of those plays. The Chiefs offense couldn't score 30 points all year. But in that one game, because they're awful against the Eagles in 2 weeks at the Super Bowl. But against that team in particular, they pop off. No issues. Worthy's all over the place. And then Kelce looks pretty.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good. And the run game's good. Everything worked for him.
Juju Smith-Schuster's randomly making plays.
On that day, it worked for him. And that just happens so often. And that's where, for me, this is also the second or even maybe third time they've had to really redo this defensive line. You hope now, finally, something has clicked, that Sanders comes in and hits. Rousseau takes that step forward. Ed Oliver finds some consistency. But we'll see. I'm excited, but it is tough for me to totally buy in, because we've been down this road before, and then there really isn't that pop play. Like, I like that they're going to promote a lot of these guys on Hard Knocks. I'm excited for that. The guys like Christian Benford are going to get their promotions, and they should. But there does have to be, not Chris Jones himself, but there's got to be a player that in those big moments steps up. You had that for a half a season with Von Miller when you first got him.
Correct.
He won you the Chiefs game at the end.
He won you the Chiefs game
exactly
in the regular season, yes.
He did exactly what you needed him to do in the regular season. He won it for you. And they just do not get that from anybody but their quarterback in those games. And that is what happened. Aaron Schatz had a stats. He was down with Mina Kimes from ESPN, through the Bills. It's them for the last 5 years and the Ravens for the last 5 years. The best teams to not win a Super Bowl based off his stats.
And I think I saw it. It was like a top 10 DVOA of teams that haven't won the Super Bowl, and it's like four-year pockets. The Bills and Ravens are on there twice.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we mentioned the turnover thing of how it shouldn't be replicated. It's not something that could be capable of being replicated. Zach, since 2020, they've been either third or fourth.
Yeah.
Their lowest point in terms of turnovers ranked across the league since Sean McDermott has been here, 10th in 2019. That's the worst that they've done at acquiring and taking away the football. It is getting to a point where, this should not be something easily replicated. And the Bills go, yeah, so? And all it takes, though, and this is why the playoffs are a problem, it is one game. If you don't get them in one game, you're cooked. How do they beat Baltimore?
Straight up.
It is
turnovers. Baltimore was a better team than them on paper, but on that day, they turned the ball over a lot.
They turned the ball over three times.
And even then, it still almost led to them losing. Baltimore turned the ball over a ton, I think, three or four times?
It was three times.
Three times. And it still came down to just a drop pass from that game going to overtime. And I said a lot last year that team was kind of punching above its pay grade, but it kind of didn't matter. Just get to the end. You got the quarterback. You're fine. The turnovers were working. But it's where it leads me to getting nervous is, because they got all the turnovers there. But if they didn't, Baltimore had no problem with the ball down the field on them. I mentioned it a lot that the Mark Andrews fumble is an easy first down.
And the 2023-24 season is where, like, they are banged up to oblivion. A.J. Klein obviously plays in that game in the divisional round against Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
Again, that is a team that they needed to be able to take the ball away. That was something like they had to rely on it because they were banged up. They were a team that was getting beaten down. They gave up a game-winning drive to the Patriots with Mac Jones dealing the football. Like, mm-hmm. They were really beaten up. They had to be able to take the ball away. Otherwise, that defense would have been, throughout the entirety of the season, a problem child for them. They gave 470-plus yards to the Jacksonville Jaguars that year.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's something where, yeah, they actually needed it that year because the health was a problem. Now, it's still the same thing. Can you, with some of these new additions, though, add a little bit more on the high end of talent for this team? Because if you have to rely on the turnovers, all it takes is one bad game, one efficient game from another team, from a top-end team mm-hmm. in the postseason.
Which you will get.
Which you get with Kansas City. They may have been unspectacular last year on defense, on offense, but they don't turn the ball over.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually you will get beaten down in that point.
Yeah. 803-0550, the number to call. Let's go to the phones. George is up first today. George, how are we doing today?
Hey, good. I agree with what you're saying, but I'm going to be a little more specific in that. I think this shows up on the whiffs that the general mm-hmm. manager has made in with his first and second picks on defense.
Yeah, I think absolutely, George. I think that is absolutely correct to bring up. Because you look at it, too, like Ed Oliver is a top 15 pick. He is simply not consistent enough. You need often for him to be at his best a big guy next to him. Elam is a flat-out miss. And to the point where when he was traded this offseason, the fact that you got a seventh?
Any sort of pick for him.
Anything for him was a cause for celebration. I like Greg Rousseau, but he has not transformed into that 12.5, 13 sack guy, top 10 in every pass rushing category. He is top 25 in most of them, but he was a first round pick with elite physical traits, it appeared. He should do that. Epinesa is a second round pick who, I mean, kind of has never been.
He's been a rotational guy.
He's been a rotational guy that flashes every now and then, but I can't say he's ever been that great.
He'll have a fun game or two.
Yeah, and so I agree with George's point. I mean, like, and I've been somewhat critical of Bean over the last few months, mainly on the defensive side. I brought it up. This is maybe the second or third iteration of transforming the defensive line again. But
yeah,
but it's the fact that they did it again. They're not just saying, screw it, let him score 35. We'll try to, you know, break records and score 40 because I hear that all the time. Like,
that's guys, not sustainable.
Yeah, that's not sustainable either. But I like the additions they made. They add a corner in Max Harrison who has that elite trait physically that you don't often find at the end of round one with his speed. You've already seen it early in camp that is helping him make some mistakes, allow him to kind of learn on the fly a little bit. He can make up for it. TJ Sanders, that South Carolina defensive line was incredible last year. They put teams on their butts all the time. Sanders was a big part of that, and he was kind of the last defensive tackle of that class that had the pass rushing upside plus the run defense. You had Deion Walker, who if that back issue is situated and he has actually slimmed down to play faster, they may have gotten the second round kind of guy in the fourth round.
Like, look out. The guy has top-end talent yep. to him.
But they've got to hit, and that's why I say it all the time. I want to keep the expectation somewhat leveled, but this is where, Bishop, you need to be a good safety. I'm not saying great, a good safety this year. Sanders and Harrison need to be solid to good contributors this year. If not, we're going to be having the same conversation that we've had for the last few years of, yeah, they really don't have that guy on defense. Do we need to trade every first-round pick to go get a disgruntled Trey Hendrickson or hope that another pass rusher becomes available, even though none of them really did except for Hendrickson?
Mm-hmm.
Because, I mean, like those hopes all kind of evaporated. Garrett, we all thought around Super Bowl week, was never playing for Cleveland again.
Right.
And for most of the offseason, he's been paid by Cleveland. Max Crosby, the same thing. And that's the thing, too. You look at guys like Max Crosby. You can get elite pass rushers later in the draft. He's a fourth-round pick, and in year one, he had double-digit sacks for the then Oakland Raiders. So I also look at even guys like Javon Salman. Does he maybe take a step forward? Not to be, again, the 10 to 15 guy, but can he rack up 5-6 sacks? This team does not finish plays in terms of the defensive line all that often. They really don't. They can get in there, they don't finish the
play. But what saves them? It's the turnovers.
The turnovers. But if you can mesh the two, I say it all the time, they will go to the – their quarterback is too talented. They're solid enough on offense. They have a great offensive line. If you just get a top 15 defense that can finish plays, has a guy that can get in there, you're going to the Super Bowl.
But they have run
into that wall.
It's sick and twisted. I've been looking at these turnover stats now that I thought about it. I went into a little bit of a deep dive on it. Like, I look up the rankings for them each of the years that Sean McDermott's been here. The lowest they ever got to was in 10th.
Mm-hmm.
Since 2020, they've been never lower than 4. Last year, they get a turnover in all but one game in the regular season.
Yeah.
The LA Rams game. Which the block punt effectively ends up being more crucial than you'd ever think.
Yep.
There's only one other game that they don't have a turnover, and that's Denver. Denver's the one game where they're just like they don't need it.
Yeah.
They're on a different class.
Denver scores early.
Here's the sickening part. They won the turnover battle against Kansas City, 1-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they still lost.
They still lost.
Like, can we not deal with that? I am perfectly fine if they avoid Kansas City in the playoffs this year. Please, thank you, you're welcome. I probably speak for a lot of people at this point. Hello?
I'd be happy to avoid Kansas City. I'd be cool with it, but...
They're probably inevitable.
It's why I push for the one seed, though, so the divisional round isn't against somebody like Cincinnati, Baltimore, or Kansas City. You will get the worst remaining playoff team. That's great. But yeah, when I look at teams like Kansas City, they have guys that finish games. Chris Jones helps them, yes, but their secondary has been great for them, and specifically great for them. They have been awesome when they leave. L'Jarius Sneed goes to Tennessee. He's not the same L'Jarius Sneed.
He's not the same player. They draft McDuffie.
Mm-hmm. They draft McDuffie.
Fills right in. Drew Tranquil does a lot for them at linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
So they have, it seems like, one on every level. The Bills seem like they have one on every level,
I think they have a guy that can do that in two of the three levels, but it may be the most important one that they don't. And that's why I get excited that you've added TJ Sanders, and you've added enough that maybe Ed Oliver and Greg Rousseau can have pop-off seasons. But to George's point, I mean, we've been there, we've been down this road before of early draft picks on defense, assuming they're going to play a big role, hoping they play a big role, and that kind of feeling falling flat on its face. 803-0550, the number two call. We've had our first scrimmage at Bills camp. We'll touch on that after we come back. You're listening to WGR.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new unrivaled league, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.